없이 여기서 홀로 왔던 너. 좀 머리 둥절한 표정이 예전 나와 같아.
괜찮아, 잘 될 거야.
너에겐 눈부신 미래가 있어.
괜찮아, 잘 될 거야.
우린 널 믿어 의심치 않아.
Hi everyone, welcome back to our channel. I'm Ria and I have Celine with me. Hi Celine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am well. And I am both excited and I'm sad as well. You know why.
Yes, of course. And well, we are probably going to upload or release this a podcast a little later because we have certain engagements. Celine has certain engagements. So we will be, and please excuse us for that. However, we did record the podcast while the show was on air, the episode rather. Okay, so, well, this is, we are going to be reviewing Hospital Playlist episode 5 from season 2. And shall we start then?
Yep.
Let's get started. Okay, so the first scene is basically they pick up right where they had ended in the previous episode, where Agent receives a call from Ixut, and she tells him everything, what is ailing her and how she broke up with Jinwan and what exactly happened. Now, it's not clear whether he knew about it or not, but there is a little bit of a surprise on his face. So you can surmise it in both ways, until and unless he really comes clean with Jinwan. It's still a mystery whether he knew about it, whether he had an inkling regarding this, or he was surprised that he heard for the first time that his best friend and his sister has been dating for over a year. So that's there. And we also get to know that obviously Ixun is very scared and she apologizes to him. We are taken to Ikjun's home. He's sitting there with the laptop closed and obviously he's thinking over, he's recapitulating whatever discussion he had with Ikjun, and he had asked her to come back. I think it was probably after he booked the tickets.
Yeah, exactly. That is what I thought, that, you know, now he has booked the tickets and now he's pondering over what actually led to this whole thing.
Exactly. Now, if you look at that particular scene where he's sitting at the breakfast table and or at the dining table and he's thinking about a lot of things, the expression that is there on his face, it's an expression that he doesn't really show in front of others, you know.
Right.
You can see there is so much worry on his face and there is so much of responsibility on his shoulders. He has been taking care of Uju for the longest period of time. Even before he got divorced officially, he has been a single father. He has been looking, he has been taking care of his friends and their love lives and whatnot. About that, he was taking care of his patients, and now it's a.
Yeah.
So obviously, but then he doesn't really crib, he doesn't ever complain. I don't know if he's ever going to break down and explode or not, but at least till now, he's doing well. Your take regarding that scene, what do you think?
I think it's a very personal expression. It's a very personal space that, you know, we are kind of seeing. And I don't remember seeing when was this last time. I think I do remember that expression from, you remember episode 5 only last season when Sangva said that, what if I really get it? And he said that, you know, I'll fix it no matter what.
I'll fix it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that was very reminiscent. For me, it was very reminiscent of that scene. I'm not sure if it was a parallel or not. It might not be. But it was very reminiscent because that expression was familiar. But this expression is very personal. He does not show this expression to everyone who is around. So,
absolutely.
That also says a lot that, you know, he has been, from that point only, he's giving entry to Sangvard into his personal space. So, yeah.
That is true. What
That's
I feel
my
is that okay, yeah. But what I feel that it's almost like there are two agents. One is the one who is a little bogged down with all the responsibilities and things that he has to shoulder, and the worries that and cares that he has for people around him, people who he really loves. And then there is another goofy side of his, which can be taken as, you know, a defense mechanism. I don't know. But sometimes it's difficult to reconcile both the parts of his, right? And Jaksuk, being an amazing actor that he is, he does both the scenes so well. I think I have mentioned this over and over again that I don't know which Jaksuk I like the most. Which agent is my favorite? The serious and the somber one, or the frivolous and the funny one?
Yes, yeah, so, definitely.
So that's there. And we also hear from Ixon that she doesn't want agent to say anything to Jinwan. And he promises her that he will keep it to himself.
Yeah.
The next scene is we see Jinwan drinking alone, and then we find that he's calling someone. My guess is that he was calling Ixon, which she did not pick up his calls.
Yeah, that is something that I thought too. It was like very same. Yeah, he's calling and he did not pick up, and he did not want to give up, but then she wasn't picking up, and you know. Things happen.
Correct. The next, we have a patient in the general surgery department. Remember the patient who's who was having liver cancer?
Yeah, the one with the husband, right?
Yeah, the one with the husband, abusive husband, which we come to know about it later.
Yeah,
it's also a scene which. Hello.
Yeah, go on. Hello.
No, I was saying I was saying that it is also a scene where, you know, obviously the patient, the story unfolds much later, but you can see, if you look at Ijun's face, you know that there is something wrong.
Yes.
And
yes.
He is so perceptive, and he picks it up right then and there that this is not a natural situation. Even though the husband looked very caring and all. But when you know that there's a doubt in Ikjun's mind, you know that there is something fishy going on. So you cannot be really, you cannot be comfortable around that idea. Because you know that if Ikjun is smelling something fishy, then obviously there is bound to be some problem. Which we get to know much later on.
No, yeah, but the reveal is later, but like you said, it's very evident that there's something very wrong. You know, it catches somebody who has been watching the show over a period of time would know that there's something wrong. They will know it instantly. It is wrong because it's coming from Ikjun's perspective. The scene is from his perspective, so we instantly get it. Maybe if the
and
scene was from Jinwan's perspective, that might not happen. So. Yeah.
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, I said that's that you can take forward.
Yeah. So I think among the five friends, he is the most perceptive one, because he is so happy-go-lucky and goofy. We don't really always give him the credit, but he is the one who notices the most of the things around him. No, it, he hardly misses. So, barring like his friend dating his sister. That one is, well, we don't know. We are still in two minds about it.
So Riya still believes that he knew, but I am still betting on that he might not know. So let's see who's right by the end.
I think you are going to win, but I still, because it's so uncharacteristic of Arjun of not knowing it. I would like to say that maybe he wasn't sure about it, but he had his doubts. I mean, come on, it's Junwan. He can't lie to save his own ass. So let's just say that I'm sure he was pretty evident. The way he named her Bidulgi and all those snow crab things, and those were really, like, they were very, very strong points and signs that was there.
True.
If
you still
ignore them, then the joke is on him.
Yeah, so true.
All right. So next scene we have, this is a big interesting part, which comes, we get to know a little bit about, actually a lot about Seokhyo. We can call episode 5, in a way it was Seokhyung's episode. There's a lot of reveal that happens.
Yeah, a lot of past is revealed. Like, we were curious that this is not shown, they should have shown something. But here it is where it is covered, and I think I'm going to applaud you here, and I'll take a moment to applaud Riya's analysis, how correct she has been from the start of this season. She has been right with her analysis, and she said that how, if you remember, we were talking about this in the second episode, where you said that, you know, Seo King's mother is one lady who, you know, kind of controls his son's life, and you have
the
sign
was wise. There. Remember, she said that, what does her father do? The moment you are asking this question, or what does her family do? It's more like, those are red flags, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see, maybe this woman, she's not outright evil. I wouldn't want to call her outright evil, because she is Seokhyung's mother and Seokhyung loves her. So, really wouldn't want to call her that. But then she is very, very insensitive. What I liked about in the show is that they did not try to, make Shinhae sound the culprit.
Yeah.
They tried to show from her perspective as well. And we all can sympathize with her, the way whatever went wrong with her and how much of a struggle it was for her to be in that relationship. It was so toxic, the marriage.
Yeah. And that is something that we kind of appreciate about, Hospital Playlist, because they do not go on and they... villainize a particular person. Even if, the person is not good, like Dr. Cheon is there, he's not good, we know it. But then he is not shown evil. His sides are basically used as, fun sometimes. That, even if he's doing that, he does not get it right. So they kind of pass on to the message that if you're not doing it well, you will get it somewhere down the line.
Right.
That being said,
and also he's the perfect antithesis to Junwan. So you also see the two sides of the doctors. So that's pretty much
very true. There's a warning that I would like to give at this very point of time, that I believe in whatever I'm saying right now, but I would shift a little bit by the end of episode about certain things, and I think where I'm going with that. So it's not conflict in opinion, it's just that I feel that particular thing could have been handled better by the writer. Yeah.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, we will talk about the couples once we are done with explaining the episode and discussing about the episode.
Yeah.
So we'll come to that. Acha. So we see Rosa here, Jungle Rosa or Mama Rosa as we call her. She's a brilliant character. I just love her so much.
Yes.
She knows she too had a very toxic relationship, but that toxicity did not make her an evil person or did not taint her heart, rather let's put it like this, right? Remember in season one she mentioned to Jeongwon that, well, your father and I had hardly had any relation at the end, and our marriage was a marriage of convenience, right? So she was obviously not happy in her marriage either, but it did not taint her heart. She did not become a self-serving, selfish woman. What she cared about was Jeongwon's happiness and how he should be. And she knew that obviously being a priest is not something that Jeongwon actually wants to do, because she's his mother. She knows him the best. On the other hand, we have a complete antithesis here as well in Seokhyung's mother, where she loves her child, no doubt about it. But then her love for her child is clouded by materialistic, wishes and craving for more money. Yes, maybe she is very rich, but then there is a pettiness in her which is not there in
Jeongrosa,
isn't it?
That is very true. And, you know, I would have been there with her had it not been a talk about dowry. It had not been talk. I would have been with her till the time she said that I even do not like my daughter-in-law. I would have been there. I mean, that character has suffered so much. But then she says that I'm like, that's it. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. And, the dowry is, I was very pleasant. I don't know if I should call it pleasantly surprised or not. Since we come from a community, we come from a country where dowry has been a problem for years and for centuries, I would say. Some of us have been able to get out of it. Some of us haven't been able to do so successfully. And there have been various forms of dowries now available in an indirect form. So it was quite surprising for me to see that Korean culture also reflects quite a bit what the Indian culture do. Maybe it is a... it is specifically an Asian culture. I don't know what to call it, but then what is, it horrific?
Can you repeat, what did you say?
I just said that maybe it's a reminiscent of the Asian culture that we share somewhere. Obviously not a good thing with that we should share, but then maybe
I'm not very sure, because I do remember studying in my sociology class that foreign does have some form of it. I mean, the West does have some form of it, and then the West has something called bride price.
That used to be there. I don't know if they have it now as well. It was very prevalent during the time of Jane Austen and previously, like in of the 18th century, early 19th century, late 19th century. But then after that, I don't think they have, because most, they don't really go for arranged marriages any longer. Dowry is a system which is a byproduct of arranged marriages.
The modern form of bride price, which surprised me at some point, was the ring. You know, you have to get the ring before you propose. You know, that's the modern form of bride price. And if you look at feminist literature, you will see how, you know, there are discourses, and yeah, of course, I agree to them, how the ring is something that is used to tie down a woman. That, you know, this is the ring that I'm giving you. Now it's the price. So,
maybe, but then, you know, it's always better that not to read too much into it. Because every culture will have...
Yes. I mean, we're all living in very patriarchal culture, so I think we should read too much into the lines.
Yes, we have, and in fact, they just have a ring. We have so many things. We have a Manga Sutra, we have Sindur, we have this, that, and each and every community in India will have some sort of a system which would, you know, which ties you down, or which is a sign of a marriage, sign of a married woman.
Should we, divert a little bit here and talk about this? Because I suddenly remembered something that I watched. So there was this movie, Bulbul, and you remember me telling you about that, and it's actually based on the Bengali upper caste, upper class Bengali households, the ones who live in big havelis and stuff. And the very first, you know, a scene that is there, and there's a child bride, and she is her, they're actually having, putting rings in her toe. I forgot what they say that. But she asked that, why are you putting those rings in my toe? The lady who does it, she presses the ring, and she said that because if I do not do that, then the girl would run away. She would fly away. So there's this some form of a nerve here that kind of, I mean, affects directly, goes directly to the girl.
Yeah. True. And at least, you know, ring, I would look at it from a positive point of view, the ring that we wear, the married women wear on their finger, is that it's not just women who are wearing it, even the male men wear it, right, as a sign that they are married or they are committed. Apart from the rings, all the other signs that we have, they're only for women. I would say that is a lot more degrading than the rings. At least the ring is where you have an equality, where both of you are wearing it, and it's a commitment, and it's nice. But if you look at, because see, I understand where you're coming from regarding, but then there's a beauty in commitment as well. Until and unless you have a relationship which is really suffocating, and you really want to get out of it, and you can't find a way how to do it, or it is an abusive relationship. Other than that, if you have a meaningful and fruitful relationship, it's okay to have to exchange rings and wear it on your finger. What bugs me is the rest of it, the rest part of it. See, in India, we wear a large part of our community wear Mangal Sutras, not all. Like in Bengal, we don't. But obviously in the north, they do. In the south, they do. Do the men wear Mangal Sutras as well? No, they don't.
No.
In Bengal, we you will see that we wear that red and white bangles, right? We call it Shakola.
Okay.
So that is, well, Bengali girls, they are very modern now. They don't wear it any longer. But there is something that they wear on their left, in their left arm, or rather in their left wrist, you can say. It's a bangle, we call it Noah.
Okay.
Even Aishwarya Rai wears it.
So
that symbolizes that, you know, obviously you're married. So that is a gold bangle that that girls wear, or that women wear. And sindoor was also one sort of signature that obviously you were married. Now people don't wear it that frequently. But yes, the telltales are all there. And so yes, we were talking about Seokhyung and his mother, and you know how they his relationship with Shinhae just went down.
Yeah.
And we find Shinhye right over there in the cafe. I would say she was pretty strong. She did not acknowledge her ex-mother-in-law, which is good.
Right.
So, after that, the next scene is we see Seokhyung and Minha. Would you like to talk about them a little bit?
So, I think this episode, I will not talk about the scene particularly, but the whole essence of the episode, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this episode, we have seen that Seokhyung is opening up. But in this episode, I think this is the turning point for them. Because you remember when Songhwa goes and kind of counsels Seokhyung, and she said that, you know, ask people, do not just run away, ask people who are close to you. She specifically says who are close to you about what is happening. And then when Minha calls, he asks her, you know, some of the questions he repeats. So, you know, that clearly shows that how close Minha is to him, and how he is welcoming to Minha now. And then, you know, Minha then goes on and asks that, you know, now that he has asked me those questions, that means that's a green light.
Let me just she has so I'll take whatever I get kind of an attitude, which is which is very fun. I mean, which is lovely. Now it is yet to be seen that when they actually get into a relationship, what does Seokhyung's mother do, and what is her reaction to everything? We are given a little bit of an insight into Minha's life as well. We know that she is from Sokcho, and also that her parents, they own a guest house.
Yeah.
So my she's definitely not aware, not from a very rich family. That might be an issue for Seokhyung's mother. But I can also imagine that Seokhyung will this time, you know, stand up and support Minha.
Yes, he should.
Progression of Seokhyung and his discussions with Songha, and how what mis- and his owning up to his mistakes is has been a learning curve for him. And I'm sure he, as we have seen, that he is much, much more open, willing to open up to, you know, Minha. And the beauty is that at this point, when Minha came and told him that, you know, I want to ask you out five times, he did not, like, obviously he said no. And he said, well, I have to go with my mother to the temple and all that. But what he didn't do is that he did not kind of, you know, brush her away, brush her off. And he just said, and somewhere he is enjoying this attention that he's getting now. Kind of uncomfortable because he's playing along. He's saying that, well, you have four attempts left.
Yeah, I do agree.
Enough.
For me,
so
it was a kind of a proposal, okay? It felt that way to me.
Yeah, he said, like, even in the group, even in his group of friends, Seokhyung was Seokhyung is obviously closest to Songhwa, and next person he's very close to is Ikjun. Because even before this scene came up with Songhwa, we have seen in the previous episodes where he was slowly discussing about Shinhye, not really going into details, but telling him his intentions regarding Shinhye. Even in season one, we had seen that. Remember when Ikjun and he was talking about Minha and Minha's interest in him, and he said that, well, I don't want to hurt her, and all that.
But you, here, you know, remember that in the last season, he said it because it was because of him. But this season, he said it is because of his mom. He is interested, but now the only person, you know, kind of stopping him is his mom. He is interested now. You know, that thing is done.
Yes, that's of course. And all, that is one thing that he has realized. And the second thing is that he's ready to change. You know, he's eager to change. That is why he spoke to Sova and he accepted his faults and what he should have done, which he didn't. You know, and as Sova said, that accepting your faults is always, it's halfway, you're halfway there already. The solution is halfway, is right in front of you. Acceptance is more important. So that's it. I'm very, very excited about Gom Gom because we see Songa coming into like coming to Yolj, returning to Yolj after a year. In those years, has all the four you know, attempts have been taken? Like, has Minha attempted all the four times, and been, whether he has rejected Minha or accepted her? We really do not know, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
It doesn't look like he will reject her, but then one whole year. I'll be very excited to know what is what happened in those, in that entire year.
True. Also, you know, now if you look at the trailer that is there for the next episode, it covers all the scenes that have been released through the teasers and the proper trailers of the episodes. Them now, after the episode that comes after episode 6, we do not know anything that can that will happen there.
Exactly. So, from episode 7 to episode 12, and I'm really, really hoping that there will be a season 3. Otherwise, it will be a bummer. But I don't want the show to end in a cliffhanger. I hate that. You know. So. And also, there was this birth scene that was shown. It is really nice, very cute moment where the husband who wanted to, you know, film when the baby was first born. But then the moment he went into that delivery room and he realized that it's the wife who needs the attention, he forgets completely about taking any shots or any camera inside, and he just goes and talks to his wife and encourages her and all. There is a very sweet scene that happened. This mostly we see that the husbands and the mother-in-laws, they're all mothers-in-law, they are all very interested in the child or the baby that's born rather than the mother. Remember in one of the episodes where the case was a little complicated and the mother said that she's ready to go for a cesarean. However, the husband and the mother-in-law, they were insisting on a natural birth.
True.
Because they wanted the child, they had this notion that a naturally born child would be smarter than a cesarean one.
True. Yeah.
So it was quite a different approach and quite a very refreshing to see.
Agreed. Also, if there's something, I do not know if that's a parallel or not. You remember Minha falling for Seokhyung in that delivery room only when she, in the last season, you remember when he was smiling and that's where Minha fell for him. And now in this episode, since, you know, he was looking at the couple and he was, you know, he felt good. And that's what opened his heart as well. Now, I do want, you know, something for myself. I don't want to be single. Maybe it would be good to have somebody else. So, both of them happened there. Yeah.
Right. It happened in season one as well. But then he really did not consider himself to be a part of that. He enjoyed seeing it. I remember there was a scene where, you know, he said that, you know, the husband was so caring of the wife. I felt warm fuzzies inside my heart and all. And Ekjun pulls his leg by saying that, you know, get remarried, get married again. And he said right back at you. So which means that, well,
yeah,
you can do it as well. Right. So, yes, I do feel, you know, people are so excited and they are saying that maybe we'll get a Jeongwon and Gyeol marriage. I would say we might end up getting a Seokhyung and Minha marriage. I'm actually, I think we'll get a Gomgom marriage. Well, I obviously have to eat my words after a few episodes. I'm quite sure about that. But for now, I think I will put my money on Gomgom, because his entire story revolves around marriage and how he was a failed husband.
Yeah.
So obviously we would want to see him succeed as being a good husband and being a good partner.
If you look at
kindergarten,
it, that's
they're
it,
still
you know,
in their kindergarten. So they need to get out of their kindergarten mode if they want to get married. They're still very young.
Though, you know, if you look at it that way, I think everyone's story has the touch of marriage into it, be it Bidulgi, be it Iksang, be it Winter Garden, the whole Jeongwon to get married or go become a priest. So everybody does. And yeah, I think at this point of time, we can all bet our monies, because all the four fandoms are like, this is the one who is getting married, and we don't know which one will get married. Maybe two of them get it, but then two of them might not.
Yeah, I'm putting my I'm putting my money on. I don't know. Can I put my money on three couples? No, I think
now the fourth one would get married. Now Lady is putting on three. The fourth one will get it. So I'll put it on the fourth one.
Good one. No. So if you had to put your money on any one couple who might tie their knot this season, which one would it be?
This season?
And why?
I think if you would have asked me this question like two episodes before, I would have said Bidulgi, okay. But I'm not.
Delhi abhi dur hai wahan pe to. Delhi kya? I think.
Jeongwon bahut dur hai. I don't know. I really don't know, but I think I would bet on either Gomgom or Winter Garden at this point of time. I might change my answer in the next episode, so don't put me down.
Okay. So what we'll do is that after every episode when we go for our discussions, we'll keep on pestering Celine, asking her whether she has changed her position or not.
Okay, done. So what are you getting me if I win?
Well, maybe veg gimbap.
Done. Let's go on a talk book date, okay?
Okay.
Best the virus.
Absolutely. Okay. For me, as I said, that I feel Gomgom has the maximum chance of settling down this season.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I don't know why. They haven't even started their relationship, and here I am planning their wedding. It's not because they are my favorites. Of course, everybody is my favorite. I do have a personal favorite, that's Iksang. And do I see them getting married? I would really want to. But signs are not there, because I don't know where they are actually standing and what exactly is going to happen with them. Because, we know what a roller coaster ride it has been for Iksang. With Gomgom, I'm more towards Gomgom regarding the marriage, because over here they are Seokhyung's entire story revolves around marriage, and his mother keeps on poking him regarding marriage, that get married. So probably
right.
We can,
you know, when you say that, I think you're very right again, because if you look at the narrative that is there in this season, it has been about marriage and how they also talked, his mother also talked about. So I think you're very right, and we will, Minha would be in trouble, might get in trouble in the later episode, but I think that's where we are headed. So I'll put my money where Rhea is putting her money.
With Winter Garden, it's because Rosa as a mother, she is very at now. At present, she is in that Zen mode. That I leave everything to my son. Whatever he decides, I will not meddle in his life and all that.
Yeah,
and Winter Garden is just starting out. I'm sure there are going to be a few issues that are going to come up. It looks like they're almost children in a relationship. Then both of them, it's their first relationship. They're exploring. Obviously, they haven't had challenges come their way. We don't really know how they are going to react to that. Which brings us to our next discussion on Winter Garden. If you remember the scene where Girl goes after that man, when she, you remember, and then Jong-un comes and kind of picks her up from the floor and takes her to the ER. There is some hints about Girl's personal life. She gets a phone call. Before that, she gets a phone call from her mother. It was around 4 a.m. when she receives that call. And no mother would call their child at 4 a.m. until and unless there is something that is wrong. Isn't it?
Yeah.
A time when you should be calling your children until and unless there is some kind of a need. And she said that I was missing you. Who misses anyone at 4 a.m.? You should be sleeping. And when she says that, have you fought with dad, or dad, whether dad has fought with you, something of that sort. So maybe she comes from a family where, obviously she's rich, but then I think they come from a family. She comes from a family which has a history of abuses, physical abuses. Both are on children as well as on adults.
Go on. So quote, that actually is very plausible, especially because if you look at her character, she takes her time to empathize. She takes her time to, you know, get emotion, express her emotions. That also, if you come from a psychodynamic perspective here, they will say that something must have happened in her childhood. Something, maybe she did not get a very safe environment where expressing emotions was okay. Of course, here I'm just talking about how the theory goes, and I'm not saying that this is what has been about, you know, is the truth about Girl, but we're just speculating about what could have been that is there. And you know, you remember the way she went in and stalked that person without even thinking, without even flinching for a moment. It was because she had to stop him. She couldn't see it. Of course, I think she was very right in doing it. I think if somebody else would have been there, they might have done the same thing. But there was no hesitation in her actions that is there. So yeah, I mean, I know Jung-wan said that you should have waited and stuff, but I mean, if I think she was fine in doing it. Of course, she did not have any idea about the strength of the person, and she could have hurt gutted, but again, I don't know. What do you think?
I have a different take. It's not that I support Jung-wan, but I think that's, obviously, I am someone who is very impulsive, but I think sometimes it's important to think it through, you know, because she was waiting right outside the door, as if waiting for her, waiting for that particular patient's relative to come out and inform her, and so that she would go in and intervene. Right? She was waiting right outside the door. Mm-hmm. She could have easily brought some security guards to wait with her, isn't it?
Yeah. And
she did not think about it. Like she said that, I did not think about it, which probably stems from her traumatic past and her need to intervene. It happened in season one as well. If you remember, there was a case where there were twins and both of them were abused by their father. And they were brought to the ER on consecutive days. And the father gave some lame excuses that he was driving, and the other day the child fell from the table, or what, he was sitting on the table or something of that sort of chair. And the moment Jeongwon recognizes those wounds as abuses, and not they are not the wounds which you get from any accident, and there were traces of previous wounds and everything, she takes off right after the man, isn't it? And she goes through and she just runs after him, tries to catch him, but falls down. That man kicks her, and then finally the man is subdued by someone. She throws, I think, a water can at him or something.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right in saying this, especially. And you know, there's a term for it actually. There's a term which is called repetition compulsion. Like not exactly, I think I might not be using the right, but the point is that the people want to stop or correct a certain thing from happening, because in the past they could not stop it.
Absolutely. Even this entire thing is coming out of, or stems out of, the need to protect people, because she couldn't protect herself or, you know, her loved one. It looks like it could be that. Because obviously Jeongwon says that, is there anything that you should be telling me?
Mm-hmm.
And she hesitates and she says, no, everything is fine.
Yeah.
So obviously this is going to be one of the hurdles that is going to come Winter Garden's way. They need to share more.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in a relationship, you don't just share the good things, you share the bad things as well. Opening up is very important.
That is very true.
This is a problem with Bidulgi as well.
Yeah, true.
You know, they don't share. They will only share the good things about their entire day, but they don't really share, and they don't share their fears. They don't share their sorrows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yes, I know Ik-sun shared her horrendous experience when she got, when she faced racism. Mm-hmm. But then, and by that, I'm not talking just about Ik-sun, I'm also talking about Jeongwon. He hardly shares anything with her.
Right. And both of them actually have this, Ik-sun had like a very bad relationship, and Jeongwon found a real love after such a long period of time. Both of them actually fear losing each other a lot.
Yes. And we do get to know that Jeongwon suffers from that kind of loneliness, and he gets lonely very soon. That's what we get to know it from Ik-jun. He says, "Na that he gets lonely so quickly."
Right.
So probably it stems from there, but then I have always loved Bidulgi, and it really broke me to see them break up. But at this point, it looks like that's the best thing that could have happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, apart.
I know you're sad.
No, I do. I do agree to you. I actually completely agree to you. There had to be that way. Because if you remember in the season one, Ixen kept saying, and then we would break up, and then we would break up, as if she is kind of wanting. I mean, she's so afraid. It's there exactly. in her mind. And so it had to happen at some point. Either they had, they would have gotten into a very strong fight and everything. But there had to be something breaking that wall. You know, the wall that they had been creating for such a long point of time. Now, the water is out. You know, from both sides, the water is out. And now it just needs, the wall just needs to break. That is what is it. And if you remember the last scene that is there, I'm going to bring it here. We're going to talk about that transition as well, but later. But you remember the waterfalls? She when Ixen hears about Jinwan in the last scene, the water, she spills the water. That water for me is just her emotions. They're spilled.
Mm.
Both from both of the sides. It's spilled. Now the dam is about to be broken. So that would be really interesting.
Yes, it would be actually very, very interesting. And I really want them to meet in Changwon, not here in Yulj or in, you know, in Seoul. Because that's where their story starts. That's where they met for the first time. So I think it would be a good idea. Maybe our heart surgeon would want to go and visit his family or something of the sort. And, you know, he'll bump into her in some way or the other. And we'll get to see them confront. The problem is that Jinwan is, he's such a straightforward guy. But when it comes to relationships, especially with even in his previous relationships, we see he was a very straightforward guy. It did not take him even 5 minutes to break up with a girl who was an alcoholic. But then here, for some reason, he kept on doubting himself and he wasn't as straightforward as he should have been with her. And
because he was in love, you know, and
yes, he was in love, but I feel like he, both him and Ixon, they have been in love with the idea of love, you know.
That attack, did he attack? You're attacking me.
I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking them. I just love them so much. And I know the love is there, but you know, the kind of things that you need to do, it has to come from both the sides. As I say, that you need to be on the same page, you know, and the idea of love by, why do I mean, what do I mean by that is both, obviously, if you look at Jinwan as a pumpkin, you cannot get a better boyfriend than him. It looks like that, isn't it? He's a poster child. If you look at Ixon, she is a very good girlfriend. But then, somewhere, if you try to, if you try look at them from a third person's view, you will feel like Jinwan is more invested in Ixon than Ixon is in Ixon invested in the relationship.
But that's also because we do not see Ixon's pose.
Exactly, Ixon's pose. Exactly. That's what. That's where I'm coming. Coming to it. Now, see, it's like we are looking at it from Jinwan's point of view. But what we are not looking at is what he is not doing. You see, because Ixon doesn't open up that much, or because Jinwan doesn't share all about his bad days and all, the first thing that hit me, I would not have said this hadn't Jinwan said that one name. When she said that I fell, I've fallen for a different person, and I like someone else, the first thing that came to his mind was that guy's name. I'm forgetting the name, the friend. How did it come to you? Why did it look like that could be the person that she has fallen in love with? There could be anybody. That means somewhere down the line, at the back of your mind, that niggling feeling was there. You know, you had that doubt that she might go and like and fall for someone else.
Yeah.
Because it came out instantly. He should have given her the benefit of doubt because he should have known that she comes from a military background where she has had so many male friends. You're doubting her. The moment you're doubting her, it shows that you do not have enough faith in her. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love them. I love Bidulgi and I love how faulty they are. You know, I do not like perfect romances because they don't occur in real life. So what interests me is this kind of dysfunctional relationship, and I really want to see how they work it out.
Yeah. You know?
So that's why I say that probably they loved the idea of being in love. But once the honeymoon period is over, once they have to face the real trouble, long distance relationship needs a lot of work. I can tell you that because, well, maybe I have not had a direct experience, but then there were some experiences like that. And so I know that. It takes time. And so at this point, it feels like it's a good thing that they have taken a break because they need to get their perspective in place. Ikson is going through a lot at the moment. And her attention should be at the moment to get herself treated.
True.
Isn't it?
And you know, I get Ikson so much because I relate to her because
she doesn't
want to burden the other person, and that is so true. We would not want the same thing. We won't want keep because of us, somebody else always has to, you know, worry and always has to go through so much trouble. So I get her.
And it's not like that. It's just Ikson. Her brother is exactly like that.
Yeah, both of them. It's in the Lee blood. Right? Yeah,
exactly. Both of them like are like that. For his brother, have you ever seen any one of like Ikjun opening up to any of his friends? No. The only person he has ever opened up to is Song. That too, when Song asked him. In season one, right? So both the brother and the sister, they do not open up. So they will always show their happy side, their happy-go-lucky, their funny side to the world. Whereas they will get into a shell and refuse to get out the moment they are hurt. Could be physically, could be mentally. You know, they will not show that to the world. So it's the same thing with Ikson. And to be and Junwan is an open book. So what happens is that when you are in a relationship with a person who is not opening up to you, you yourself will close down at one point of time. Isn't it?
Yeah.
How much can you share? How much can you ask? And this becomes harder because when you are talking to that person on a video chat, it becomes increasingly more difficult. The tangible feel is not there. You cannot touch them. You cannot even, you know, even to sit beside each other, holding each other's hands, would solve a lot of problems, would give a lot of strength, but they can't do it because they literally used to live on different parts of the world.
True, that is so true. And you know,
I know you felt bad when I said that they were in the they were in love with the idea of love, but now you know my reasons why I said that.
No, I do understand that, of course.
I didn't want to hurt you.
No, definitely not. I do get it. And I understand your point very well. And this is like a... I said attack because it's also a wake-up call for me. Because I think I'm also, you know... or maybe at some point of our life, we all are in love.
Oh, I am very much like her. I do not... I have heard so many people telling me that I don't open up. I don't share. And so this comes very naturally to me. I am very introvert when it comes to sharing my own thoughts, sharing my own griefs and sadness. I don't do it. So I can see where she's coming from. I can see where they are making the mistake because I don't have a Junwan in my life. She has. You know, and it's important that you you know, you learn to value the person that is there in your life.
True.
Which is also which also brings me to this point is that next time when you know Kyungho gets a job offer from Shin Lee and Shin PD and all, he should mention that he will never become love interest of his friend's sister. This is horrible. This is becoming like the only thing that he does. And it's horrible. Come on. And every time he has to hide it from the brother. I don't know. It's a vicious circle. You should get out of this.
Oh. You know, at this point of time, I would also like to appreciate both Kyungho and Kwak Sin Young because they were amazing. And especially Kwak Sin Young. She got this...
Absolutely. Because Junwan, because he gets a lot of chance to show his acting skills, right? She doesn't. Yeah. She's got such limited scenes. And she's so
amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, the scene where she is sitting in that car. And she sees Junwan for the first time in probably... in 2-3 months now. How many months was it? I think 5 months. And she completely broke down the way she started crying. It's it's amazing. She is such a brilliant actress.
I agree.
I just want to see more of her in the show.
Please.
What happened?
I was saying, please get her into the show.
Yes, of course. And we would definitely want Bidilki to, you know, address those problems and be able to be together because they are so amazing together. And they will be very happy if they can just open up a little bit and start sharing things with each other. The bad things as well as the good things.
True, very true.
That is there, and we are left with IXO.
Yes, I will give the mic to you, and I will add on.
Who did most of the heavy lifting today. I want you to say something on IXO.
Oh, I was also saying,
No, I was the one who spoke the most. I'm sure by this at this point, all our, you know, listeners, they will agree with me that I'm the one who goes on jabbering. So, this is your chance. You will talk about Ik-sung and I will chip in afterwards.
Okay, so Ik-sung, I mean, who thought about writing them together? What a brilliant thought. Because... they are beautiful. I mean, they just connect. Even if they make a show, you know, a spin-off where they just give us their scenes, I would watch it for hours to come. Because they're so
amazing.
You know, you remember that scene where, you know, Ikjun is, you know, imitating a crab. Ikjun does random shit. Okay, sorry. But, I mean, and she laughs and that scene is so beautiful. And then I mean, and okay, and the last scene that we are saying, when Ik-jun says that, you know, my best friend is coming back.
My old friend is coming back.
Yeah, my old friend is coming back. So sorry. And he goes and says, you know, I'm hungry. Let's eat together. Hi, Nazar Taragza. I was like, yeah.
And you know, especially the scene, the crab scene, it's important that we discuss a little bit over there. That is obviously my Khayali Pulao, but the entire scene is not just hilarious, it's brilliantly done. You know, all the fights and all the chaos that ensued right after that, because Sawa wanted to sing, and especially Junwan's expression, like he is so horrified by the idea of her singing. It's the one he was in. he was completely flabbergasted. And also, if you look at the scene carefully, I'll just try to do a little bit of justice. So when Ik-jun says that you know, you guys have no consideration for my throat and all that. Mm-hmm. Sawa picks it up right off the bat, and he says that, well, if the lead vocalist's position is open, then I would like to try. The moment she said that, suddenly Ik-jun's voice became wonderful once again, and everybody started, congratulating Ik-jun. Oh, you have a wonderful voice. Your voice sounds amazing. There's no problem with your voice. Because they all were so scared of Songwa's singing. And then Songwa as well, because we have been told by Dr. Bong before in season one that Songwa always gets what she wants. So she knows that out of all the people that are there, her first target would be Jeongwon. Why? Because Jeongwon is her first, I would say, biggest fan. She targets him first. She did not target Junwan. Junwan is actually very, very close to Sawa, but she did not target him. She targeted Jeongwon because she knows that she will be able to convince him.
Yeah, and you know, you remember how Junwan pulled his face towards him? Like, don't listen to her. She's going to charm you.
He was hit by Seokhyung. He just slapped him on his face, you know, to divert his attention. They are such a chaotic group. And then they started, you know, discussing whether they would allow her to sing and all that. So there was a timeout which Junwan suggested. So there Sawa was waiting for her result. And here, if you look at it, Ik-jun knows that she is a little upset that she can't sing because she wanted to sing in the group. Just to make her laugh, he did that crab dance.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because when he showed that crab walk or crab dance, whatever it is, it was only shown that Sawa was laughing. And it has been established before that only Sawa laughs at his jokes and nobody else. Everybody finds it very lame. She's the one. And at least thrice in two seasons, they have enforced this idea that she's the one who finds his jokes funny. And because she says that, I like his jokes. I'm waiting for the day when Jeongwon or Junwan will tell her that, well, you like him, not just his jokes.
You know, also, if you look at the scene, Junwan is facing the other side. It's, you know, they have made that into such a dramatic scene. also moving towards the karaoke scene when they decide that, you know, she will sing on her birthday twice, 2 years. And then she says, you know, let's go to the karaoke and stuff. And the way Junwan stares at Songhwa when she's singing, I kind of feel, I kind really, really kind of feel that it would be, it might be Jinwan that might get that there's something going on between the two. Somehow I get the feel, the way he was looking at her, like abhi he's gonna eat her up or what. I mean,
he's completely grossed out by her singing. I'm telling you, he is always horrified whenever someone starts singing. You know, even Ekjun is horrified, but then Ekjun has come to a point where he has accepted that she's a very bad singer, but she'll go on singing. And I can't do anything about it because I'm head over heels for her. But Jinwan, he is somewhere that I really cannot tolerate her singing. Please stop, ask her to stop, kind of a space where he is in. So he's always horrified whenever she starts singing, which is hilarious the way he reacts. So, so the karaoke scene was, it was fun, isn't it?
It was very fun.
Absolutely. And then one of my favorite scenes would be the the charger. Oh my God, where does this come from?
Oh God.
I really want to know, what was it written by Jungsook himself? I cannot believe a scene like that.
Oh God. And you know, the Ben Jinwan comes into the room and he says that I cannot even get angry because he's funny.
There is a very deep love between Ekjun and Jinwan, which is very evident, and it was evident in episodes 4 and 5 both. Because Ekjun knows his limitations. He knows that he cannot go out and, cheer his friend up. So he doesn't really let go of any opportunity to cheer him up. Even when he was doing that weird heart thing that was beating and all, he was doing it just to make Jinwan smile.
Yeah.
Did you see that? So
yeah,
he was making an effort so that she would smile a little bit. So I really love. So the effort from Ekjun's side to just make him smile, it's amazing. And he, poor thing, he is trying to, you know, juggle both the worlds. He has to take care of Jinwan. He has to make sure that Jinwan is at least floating. Jinwan is actually is taken care of. At least he is happy. Not happy, at least in better mood than he was previously. And then he has to take care of his ailing sister. And in both the cases, he cannot slip up. That has to be such a burden on his shoulder, isn't it? To keep the things from Jinwan. And then again, and for an entire year, he has been doing it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think about it, oh my God, I just need to, I bow down to that person who has created Ekjun's character. It's so much, it's so tedious, and he does it with such conviction and with so much love that, you know, we don't really come across male characters who are, who have so much capacity to love.
Yeah, I do agree.
Hena. And he loves everybody, and it's so beautiful. His, maybe his love is different when he is being thoughtful towards his patients, or when he is being friendly towards his friends, or caring towards his sister. But he loves them all, and that is a brilliant thing. You really do not, we really do not come across such characters where he wants everybody to be happy. And you know, he tries his way, level best to make sure that, you know, everybody is taken care of.
I just wish there were some real Ekjuns that were present.
I don't think, even Jungsook himself said now that there is no, I don't think a character like Ekjun can even survive in a world like this. There is no one like this. He's so perfect. And the beauty is that I feel when you have a character like such a positive character, it can get very boring. But undoubtedly, he's the most interesting character on Hospital Playlist. Don't you think so?
I do agree, because the layers that are there in his character is amazing.
And he's an out and out positive character.
He
is not boring at all. I don't know how they managed to do it, but it's an iconic character, I have to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he is silly, he's clumsy, but I just love the guy. We cannot, you know, go. We can go on, and he's not ashamed of himself. You know, some of the characters that are there who are, you know, clumsy or who have the city side, they're very ridiculed because of that. But this character, he knows his strength. He does not. He does not mind being silly.
And he is. Sometimes he's okay with it. He doesn't really care. Yeah. As it was told to us in season one as well, that he doesn't have any complex feelings.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter to him if whatever people calls him, he's fine with it. Because he says to Jung-won, remember that, what might happen is that people might call me nosy. It's fine. As long as I'm sure I can ensure the safety of my patient, it's fine. I don't really care what people are saying about me. Might as well go ahead and call me nosy. So he's he is someone who is so confident in himself that he really doesn't have those complexities, or rather inferiority complex or superiority complex. He doesn't have any of those complexes about him. The only part is that the biggest thing that he lacks is in the romance department. You know, he is such, and I think it's such an irony that he is such a lovable character, and the only department where he hasn't scored as of yet is romance. You would think that a character like Ik Jun will have girls falling for him left, right and center. Actually, that's what has been told to us, that he always had girls interested in him. But somewhere where romance is concerned, where companionship is concerned, it's sorely missing.
True.
We had very cute Uju and Appa scenes as well. I'm so happy. Every time I see Uju and Appa together, it just makes my day. Or night.
Yeah. Or the week,
yes. And can we just talk about the Lee siblings together?
Please.
Oh my God. What a relationship, and how beautiful it is.
Brilliant. I mean, most the dynamics are amazing. They remain true to the sibling nature that is there, you know, having that cute banter that goes around in siblings. But being so attentive and so caring for each other, and both of them, like Ik-sun saying, why
both
are you
of them.
Here?
Even in season one, we had we saw Ik-sun worrying about Ik-jun and the way he's leading his life, that as if there is no personal life of his, which is true. At this point, she was pointing it out, right? She was telling Jun-won that at this point, it looks like he only lives for Uju, and he just lives for people around him. What about his own life? He doesn't take care of it at all.
Yeah, you're right. And so, then, you know, and then Ik-jun is like, you know, he still goes ahead and gives her money in season one, and then here
she starts crying, remember?
Yeah.
She started
such a beautiful
crying. Scene. What a beautiful
scene. And here as well, she's like, you know, go back. Why are you here? You're here again. And then he's like, I just came to visit my mother and father. Why are you getting so, you know,
Yeah, it's not you, it's them. But then you know that he is there for his sister. Even Ik-sun said when he went to the airport to pick her up, Ik-sun says, right? That you didn't have to come and pick me up, and he said, "Of course, I had to."
Yeah.
So,
and then Ik-sun says that do not just keep standing, you know, outside the door when I get my test done, and then there is Ik-jun standing there.
He will do exactly. Yeah, he is very dogged when it comes to things like that. He will do exactly what he thinks is right and is expected of him. He will not do what you ask him to do. Remember when it happened with Songa's case as well. When everybody was busy giving their own two cents, he kept quiet. He did not, he just once said that, "I'm sure it is not that bad. What are you talking about?" And then he did not comment at all. You will think that a person like Ekjun, a verbose person like him, would be as talkative as he is. He would be the person to go on asking various questions and, you know, to throw certain things at her, like, like, "Why you didn't do this? Why you didn't do..." He never once said that "Why didn't you come to us?" Like, to me and Jongwon. Jongwon said that, actually, that "Why didn't you come to me or Ekjun? We could have taken care of it." He never once did that. But what did he do? In the long run, after his surgery and all, he went directly to that hospital. He waited for her. You know?
Yeah.
He did not really care whether Songwa would actually want him there or not. He said he said that, "I was worried, so I came."
True.
And Songwa doesn't really question that. She's okay with it. She says that because that's how Ekjun is. Well, at the time of emergency, he is a completely different person than the regular Ekjun that we are used to seeing. So the same thing with Ekjun. He knows his part. He knows exactly what he is doing. That is exactly why I thought that if they had gone the transplant route, then probably Ekjun would be the one to donate his liver, and he would not have listened to anyone. Thankfully, they did not go that route. I don't know if they're going to go through that route in the future coming up episodes. I don't know. There has to be some, you know, some deciding factors over there. But till now, what we have seen, it's like that. That whatever he decides, he will do it. He will not ask anybody of their opinion. He just smiled when his sister said, when Ekjun said that, "Well, don't come here. I'm okay." He just smiled. When she kept on pestering, the next time he comes to visit, he says that, "Well, I came here to meet my parents, not you." It was evident he was having lunch with her. And then again, when she asks him to start dating again, he says, "Why are you worried about it? I will." But then, why are you worried? The "I will" part is a little interesting. He could have completely said that, "Well, you just, you know, mind your own business. At this point, you just have to make sure that you are okay. You don't really have to worry about my love life." He didn't know that. He just said, "Yes, I will. But why do you have to worry about it?" Isn't it? So it can mean a lot of things. It could be to placate his sister, or it could be because some things we do not know that happens in the entire 1 year.
Right. And you know, though, at this point of time, I did not like the whole time skip that happened, but I loved the way they did the time skip.
Yes. At least they did not write "ek saal baad." That gets on my nerve every time I see "ek saal baad, 20 saal baad, 18 saal baad." Arey yaar, get out of it. So yeah, it's good. It's really innovative the way they showed the the seasons changed and all through the eyes of the Lee siblings. It's really, really amazing. So, shall we talk about the last scene?
I was coming to that only.
Yeah. Before that, the scene where Ekjun tells Uju that and my old friend is coming back. There was a little blush on his face, which was very pretty, very cute to look at.
I actually
went ahead and asked on Twitter that whether I was seeing things, and a lot of people replied that no, he was actually blushing. I don't know why. You don't really blush.
You know why, okay? You know why.
Yeah, well, you remember the first episode, right?
Yeah.
And you remember what happened at the end?
Oh, well.
So?
Yeah.
I just hope that he's not getting his hopes high to get dashed. I don't think it's going to happen. Do you? You don't think
that he's
going to get rejected a second time by Song?
Won't be.
She would literally become the villain of Yulj then.
Yeah.
And even Looney's coming in and giving her a life lesson would fall into deaf ears then if she goes on being the way she did.
True.
The rejection that she did.
Very true.
So yes, let's discuss the last scene.
Jungwon comes in and, you know, says hi, and then Jungwon is there and saying hi, and then even Seokhyung does that. And Seokhyung comes and he leaves the door open. And
the door open theory.
Yes, the door open theory, that, you know, it was because of Seokhyung last time that, you know, somehow because of him, that they both couldn't be a pair, be a couple. But now Seokhyung has, you know, given the green light. He's opened the door and for them to meet again. So yeah, I think it's going to be a positive thing now. It's going to be an end game now.
Don't take that name.
Okay. No, I won't.
It gives me nightmares. 2 years down the line, it still gives me nightmares. Don't take that name. End game.
Okay.
That's a Pandora's box in itself. Acha.
Yeah.
So, if we have a comparison, if you remember the scene when in season one when she got the results and each one of the friends they came in and they actually did not come in. They opened the door and she reacted with them. She spoke with them and their reactions. You remember? They were an indication of the relationship she has with them. With Jungwon, she goes into a little of detail about what is wrong. With Jungwon, it's like are, I'm okay kind of a thing. So with Seokhyung, it was much more subdued. She said that yes, I'm okay, and he just said good, and he goes away. This Seokhyung you see is a completely different version of himself.
Yeah,
a version that he only showed in front of his mother. Is now he's showing it to Song-up. I'm not saying that is because it's Song-up. I'm telling you because maybe in this one whole year his personality has changed a lot. Maybe because he has let Minha in and he's a happy man now. Who wouldn't be happy if they have Minha in their life, right?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I want Minha in my life.
We all want friends, you know, friends or sisters like her. But yes, I think she is a positive effect, and that is why he is so chirpy in the way he was talking to Song. And there are a couple of things like he said, which I asked you, remember? He said that, the good old days are gone now. You have a lot more trouble coming up. What did he actually mean by it? Would he describe Ikjun as trouble? Because obviously Ikjun is a troublemaker.
Yeah.
And he also said the sky is so upset that even the sky is crying.
Yeah.
That is not how you generally address friends, right? When they come back after a long period. As if he was teasing her. Of course, he was teasing her, but I don't know exactly why he was teasing her. But what did he mean when he said that, well, you have a lot of trouble coming up? I'm sure he doesn't mean the cases, because Soma has never seen the cases as trouble.
Trouble, right.
That could only mean once he kept the door open and the trouble came in and asked her whether she wanted to get breakfast with him.
Yeah.
And even when Ikjun came in, his expressions were a little different. Did you see?
Yeah.
In a very soft way, he said, let's go and have breakfast.
Yeah.
Isn't it? There was a smile and there was a softness in him.
Mm-hmm.
And even the way Soma reacted.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little, the little differences were there. I don't know, maybe I'm seeing things, but then it was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the pre-cap, we have for the next episode, that is, which is going to come out next Thursday, or this Thursday rather, it looks like the story is just starting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have the interns coming in, new interns, new fellows, and new stories.
You know, the medical students are coming back. I'm so excited for them.
They are not medical students any longer. Now they are residents.
Yeah.
Or interns. They will be interns.
Yeah, the students
will be interns now. I don't know how Hongdo managed to pass his exams, though. That would be... he is such a clueless boy. He always used to get scolded, even by Ikjun. Remember? He said, every time you make a mistake, I'll ask you two more questions. So that was in season one. And in season two, it was Junwon. Every time he asked him some question, he always managed to just screw it up.
That is also because Junwon is, you know, putting so much pressure on that poor kid.
Anytime he goes home, you know, goes back, I'm sure he studies and he comes back ready with the answer, he asks a different question.
Yeah.
Sometimes he can be really mean, if you ask me. You
know. He can be.
Yeah. That's the fun. Yeah, but that's the fun. So, in this entire, I think from episode 6, we're going to pick up from a year, there will be a leap. And we'll pick up right after that. So a lot of dynamics will be changing.
Mm.
For Winter Garden, they will be 1 year old.
Mm.
I'm expecting that they will show a little bit of maturity in their shows, in their relationship. Junwon, I'm not sure whether how far he has moved on, whether he has been able to move on or not. That would be an interesting thing.
Ikjun hasn't moved on.
None, obviously, none. And at this point, there is no point in moving on. She should. All she's concerned about is getting herself. Getting herself. Cured.
True.
So, we'll have to see. I think Junwon will become Thanos of Yulj. Because he was becoming a lot more softer, isn't it? After falling in love with Ikjun. So I think we'll get to see the gruff and rude side of him again. There was a very interesting scene between Ikseom, you know, where they were running somewhere. It felt there was Uju. I'm Uju, not sure, but I think that it was Uju and Soma kind of ran after Uju and Uju's appa followed Soma. It looked like I could be
wrong. That was there in that scene. Very soft. The softness that is there, you know, and very domestic, very soft.
They had a few domestic scenes even in season one when Uju got sick. And I think Uju will be a tipping point where they will decide to be together for Uju's sake. Because it's at this point, it's just Ikjun. So if he is busy, he needs someone to take care of Ujo, to take the responsibility. And I think this time it's going to be Soma.
Right.
Like even in the previous season, even in first season, they had shown us that Ujo has a familiarity with Soma, even since episode one. Remember when he went for the operation, when he was operating on that guy, Ujo was sleeping with Soma.
Mm.
Remember that scene?
Yeah, I remember.
In the couch, Soma yeah. and Ujo.
Yeah.
So that was one scene which right off the bat showed the closeness between Ujo and Soma. Yeah. You cannot fall asleep beside a person who is a stranger or who you do not know or don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah. And we also know that, you know, of course, Songhua is very close to Ujo. And I think that could be a foreshadowing to the future. But also, you know, as Igjin mentioned, that Jinwan is also very close to Ujo now.
Mm-hmm. And they are a family.
Yeah.
Bua, Fupa, what do you call them? So I think so that we will get to see more of. I really want to see more of Ik Song Ju. Let's just call them that. So I can't wait for sixth episode. I'm very, very stoked about it. And we are towards the end of the show, towards the end of our review. And the song this time we had is, what was the song? I think I Like You, no?
No, I Like You is the one that they released officially. It was something else. It was, I think, that song. 1 year later, something that was called Brown Eyed is the original right. one is
Let
that.
Let me just check. Let me just check the song. Yeah, this is the band song. While during the band actually, they showed that leap. Can't remember the song. I'm just playing it. But the memory is with my heart. No idea. What do we call it? I don't know. Anyways, if anybody knows, or if we might get back with the answer next week.
But I think it was that only. Brown Eye. There was group and then it was about 1 year something. And then the lyrics were like, don't forget and stuff, right?
Didn't Netflix release the song this week?
Netflix. They released I Like You, but I think I Like You was not the song that they sang. They released Jungkook's I Like You, but...
They released the karaoke version. They did not release the band version of it.
Right.
Oh, they did release it by saying Heartbreak Melody. What is Heartbreak? Give the name of the song. Yes, already 1 year. The song is already 1 year and it's by Brown Eyes.
I was telling the right thing.
Yes, you are. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Then we are almost towards the end. So we'll just sign off now. So from Celine's side and from my side, we just wish you a good night. And by the time, do listen to the song by Brown Eyes. Once again, I forgot the name. Already 1 year. Yes, already 1 year.
해서